It's time for overtime.
Now that's a tourist attraction.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Turns, shoots, scores! There he is! All hail the new king in town!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a middle of the week, middle of the month edition of Overtime. It's always a good show when we got a Shane Falco mention in the program. Charger Josh, a nice guest, no cigar, but our winner of the identity crisis moments ago, Brad, and he'll pick up his prize pack featuring a gift card to the very best breakfast place in the 605. That's the original Pancake House, 41st in Kiwanis. They got fresh squeezed OJ, crispy thick bacon, and so much more all the time. Served with a smile at OPH. Let's dive into the remainder of the show. We're chatting with a new coach here today in studio, Augustana Volleyball. New head coach and alumni of the program, Erica Butte, swinging by the studio here really darn soon. 12:20, our scheduled time of arrival for that conversation. We'll also talk NFL, wide receiver rankings, Major League Baseball All-Star Game, sprinkle in some World Cup, and of course get you the good, the bad, and the ugly before we pack our bags on this Wednesday edition of the show. Let's hit the scorecard. Major League Baseball All-Star Game was a one-sided affair last night. American League 4, National League nothing. Doug Glanville on a dominant pitching performance for the AL.
I mean, complete domination, and it's sort of a window into, you know, where the game is right now. It's really tough to hit when you have guys throwing 100 miles per hour. It's moving. It's and then you see them for a minute, and then they're gone. And that flicker, you can't even adjust off it. And then the next guy has to come up there and, you know, hasn't seen someone maybe a couple times or in a different league. And that's the advantage that the pitchers may have. And tonight they also executed. So there's not much you can do. Cody Bellinger, you know, in his post game was like, you know, even from my side, you could see that these pitchers were just, you know, really electric. And that's what happened tonight. But the first inning, that was it. Christopher Sanchez couldn't locate, and they jumped on him, and that's all the runs they needed.
So Dylan Cease, who was the starter, very limited time on the mound. He earned the win for the American League. 4-0 the final, 3 runs in the first, 1 run chipped in much later. American League, the winners of the All-Star game last night. And if you have not seen J.K. Simmons, the voice of the tribute to baseball, tribute to the pastime, and so much more. I retweeted it this morning at ESPN Sioux Falls on Twitter. Do not miss that. It's kind of got the Sandlot feels, the music to boot, some sprinkle in of some Ray Charles. Amazing stuff last night in Philadelphia for the All-Star game. Touching tribute to the state of baseball, where it's going, where it's been, where it's heading into the future last night. Don't miss that, and certainly other big highlights from the All-Star game just last night. Action resumes in the league Thursday. Mets and Phillies from Philadelphia, 6 o'clock on ESPN. League-wide, generally, we're back in action on Friday. That includes the Minnesota Twins in Chicago at Wrigley against the Cubbies. 7:05 start Friday night, 6:30 is your pregame coverage. WNBA basketball today and tonight. Lynx are underway right now. A noon start at home to the Sparks. 7 o'clock tonight, the Fever are home to the Valkyries. You can watch that game on USA. Over to the NBA, Adam Silver. A much-needed update on a very weird situation with Kawhi Leonard. He's been traded, not really, but agreed to be traded to Toronto, but they're wrapping up an investigation into salary cap skirting by the LA Clippers. Here's Adam Silver on what he thinks and he wants to happen with this Kawhi Leonard investigation timeline.
I'm hopeful that it will wrap up this summer, so that would continue to be the goal here. And I just want to clarify so everyone understands, I mean, the league did not pause the trade. The parties to the trade made a decision not to go forward, given that the investigation remained open. And any possible impact on Kawhi or his contract was yet to be known. And so they chose not to live with that uncertainty, but that was well known before the trade was proposed. And I didn't think there was any reason for people to believe that the status of Kawhi Leonard would change merely because he was traded. The investigation needs to run its course.
The investigation does need to run its course. You don't want to tamper with that. You want the findings to be the findings, be as concrete as possible and move on. But it's just a weird and frankly embarrassing situation for the league, according to Courtney Cronin.
The NBA failed within this whole situation by not making it expedited from the very start. They had months, nearly a year, to get this thing done. And now, because we're up against training camp starting in more than a month, that free agency is kind of rolling to this stop point right now, that this trade is being held up and not finalized. Now the NBA is like, well, hey, guys, hurry up. Like, no, you were the reason that this thing was held up in the first place because of the lack of urgency that they had from the very start to get this thing resolved.
And that's Courtney Cronin on that situation that is a hang up in the Kawhi Leonard trade. We'll wait and see what happens, as well as how it affects the trade, if it gets rescinded, if it gets altered, or something else happens in regards to Kawhi Leonard's availability after the fact, when that investigation eventually, at some point, concludes. In the National Football League, no major storylines today, but the Hall of Fame game remains less than a month away. And in a matter of fact, the Minnesota Vikings play their first preseason game a month from tonight. More on that in a moment. But the Hall of Fame game coming up Thursday, August 6th, Panthers and Cardinals, 7 o'clock on NBC. Packers open the preseason Thursday, the 13th of August, on the road at Pittsburgh. Lions at Bengals also that night. Friday night, the 14th of August, Broncos at Falcons. And Saturday at noon, Vikings at Giants, Browns at Bears. And 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Rams opening up against the Chiefs on Saturday, August the 15th. We had a lot of fun conversation yesterday, media-related, and MVFC Media Day. Also spoke with a lot of players and coaches and administrators that make this whole great conference go. The best conference in FCS college football on display, boots on the ground yesterday here at the Pentagon in Sioux Falls. Now let's hear about the Yote quarterback competition. That's the big storyline this year. Last year was all about, what are they going to do at offensive line? They lost 47 offensive linemen to the transfer portal. How are they going to protect Aiden Bauman? They figured it out. I think they'll figure out the quarterback situation, and I feel more confident about the decision after these comments from Matt Vitzthum yesterday.
Love all three kids. All three guys have really bought into me. You know, obviously coaching that position, you know, the year prior. I love those guys. I trust those guys. This is going to be a tough, tough decision for me and for our staff and for our football team eventually. You know, Nevin Crimascoli has obviously kind of been with us the longest. He's, you know, kind of the seasoned vet. He's been Aiden's backup the past two seasons, has seen some time in our league, has played some snaps. Nevin is kind of that epitome of consistency, right? He knows how to command a huddle. He does that those things really well for us. Jackson Proctor brings a ton of, you know, experience. You know, he's ran the football. Yote fans aren't used to seeing, you know, the quarterback run the football, so he can provide some of that. And then I think lastly is Austin Majewski from Colorado. Just a younger player for us. You know, how fast can he catch on? Because his talent is unbelievable. It's undeniable. So yeah, just kind of seeing how fast he can mature and grow into that leader that we needed him to be in that huddle. So love where we're at, but more importantly, I think we're going to surround those guys with who's ever out there, the 10 other guys. They're not going to have to play out of their mind great to be good for us. We're going to make sure we put them in great calls. We're going to surround them with great people, and who's ever out there, the Yotes will be just fine.
And that was part of our broader conversation aired earlier in hour number one with new Yotes head football coach Matt Vitzthum. But you feel inspired by that. A lot of great things to say about the three-headed monster of the competition there. Again, you got Majewski. Many people were saying Majewski. It's Majewski. Thank you very much for the pronunciation, by the way, at GoYotes.com. Jackson Proctor coming over. Nevin Crimascoli's been around the program for a while. Started his career at Northern Illinois. A lot of experience, savvy, and also the new kid on the block, absurdly talented. You hear the glowing remarks there from Coach Vitz. Very exciting to see who is named QB1 and when they're named QB1 in advance of the season getting going for USD. The Jackrabbits are your top dog, 28 first place votes. They are number one in the preseason MVFC poll, which wraps in media and coaches into one big happy family. Here is quarterback Chase Mason on how he progressed as a quarterback last year despite the lengthy absence via injury.
Yeah, I think just understanding the game to a whole different level. And then I think like part of the injury was also like I was able to take a step back, kind of like I said. You can like kind of look through the game through a different lens than before. So just understanding the game, not only with the X's and O's, but understanding the defenses and then being able to, I have the opportunity to audible things, so things like that, and signal routes. So there's a whole different game inside the game of football. So it's been fun to learn, and Coach E's been great at coaching us up as QBs.
That's all from college football for now. Again, we'll get you a bunch more audio the rest of the week on the show. Coaches, players, standouts, and so much more as we round out and wrapped up MBFC Media Day yesterday here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Also on the scorecard, Golfing World ablaze with the Open coming up Thursday through Sunday. A lot of great coverage. We'll dedicate a lot of time tomorrow to the Open Championship here on the show. World Cup action yesterday. Spain took out France 2-0. France will play in the third place game on Saturday. Spain moving on to the final. They'll see the winner of England and Argentina, who meet this afternoon from Atlanta, 2 o'clock Central Time start on Fox. It calls for an extended late lunch break. You need a doctor's note. I'm sorry, I'm not a doctor. You can get a burnt note if you need one. Might not do you much good. But 2 o'clock this afternoon on Fox, England and Argentina. The final will be on Sunday from MetLife Stadium. Now, moving into your ReliaBank headlines of the day, it's hour number two, aiming for his full return from his 2024 All-America campaign. Senior running back Charles Pierre Jr. of USD Coyote football was selected and named on the 30 FCS Athletes to the Stats Perform Preseason Walter Payton Award watch list. The first team All-MBFC back of the past was the first Yote in the D1 era to rush for 1,000 yards in a season, hitting the mark with a season-high 173 yards in the win at North Dakota back in November of 2024. He's got it done. He's got the resume, working off of a knee injury last season. Charles Pierre missed the majority of last season. Back in the fold, RB1, no doubt down in Vermilion. Big things ahead. He's on the Walter Payton Award watch list. That is also the case for Jackrabbit quarterback Chase Mason, who we heard from moments ago. The Hurley, South Dakota native, Mason enters his second full season as the Jackrabbit starter in 2026. He was limited to just 9 games last year due to injury. He was 8-1 as a starter, 65% completion, 21 total touchdowns, and 2,005 passing yards. Chase Mason also on the 30-member Walter Payton Award watch list. And moving forward, wrapping up your ReliaBank headlines of the day, SDSU linebacker Cullen McShane was also named to the initial watch list for the Stats Perform Buck Buchanan Award. The key line of demarcation there, Walter Payton generally offense, Buck Buchanan defense every time. Top defensive player in FCS college football, Cullen McShane, the senior from Marquette, Iowa. McShane, one of 30 players to receive mention and honors of that watch list, which will be updated throughout the season. McShane coming off a season with 88 total stops on the Jackrabbit defense, 7.5 TFLs, a sack and a forced fumble en route to being named to the All-Missouri Valley Football Conference second team just last season. And of course, watch lists are out within the conference of the MVFC, but we're going to touch on the MVFC preseason poll right now. Jackrabbit fans are thrilled that they're back atop the poll. 28 of 36 first place votes belong to the Jackrabbits up there in Brookings. 312 total points to outdistance and stiff arm the Redbirds of Illinois State for the top spot in the poll. Now, the remainder of the poll is pretty darn interesting. SDSU first, 28 first place votes. Second place was the Redbirds of Illinois State. They played for the national title last year. They got just 3 first place votes to finish second in the poll. Now, the most interesting part of the poll, despite the obvious disrespect for USD, is that Youngstown State is third in the poll, but they were the only team in the top 6 to not receive a first place vote. How interesting is that? With Bo Brungard and all they're bringing back, third in the poll, no first place votes, which many would lead you to say the Penguins got a lot of second place votes. No number ones, but they're third in the poll. Fourth is North Dakota, 2 first place votes. Fifth is South Dakota with 2. And then Southern Illinois also feels a little disrespected here. DJ Williams at quarterback, he's a dynamic playmaker. They received a single First place vote, the Salukis, sixth in the poll. Northern Iowa, 7. Indiana State, 8. And the Murray State Racers rounding out the MVFC preseason poll at number 9. And again, I said this in hour one, I'll say it again. I could argue, you could argue, we could argue with each other about how to sift through and rank up this top 6. And I'm not going to fight you on hardly anything here. I think the Jackrabbits deserve to be in the top 2, top 3, at absolutely worst. They're my top team. Now, the Yotes deserve a lot of love, too. Where they've been, how they've defied some odds lately. Every year, they're ranked in the middle of the pack, and they finish higher than they should. Why would that change this year? Quarterback questions, sure. But the returner at running back, the skill positions, the experience on the O-line, defense back, we'll see about USD, but fifth feels a little low. But at the same time, feel a little uncomfortable knocking somebody else down a peg based on quarterback play, experience, returners, etc. A lot of fun on tap for the MVFC. Again, South Dakota State, your top team. Redbirds of Illinois State, 2. Penguins of Youngstown, 3. Fighting Hawks of North Dakota, 4. USD, 5. Southern Illinois, 6. UNI, Indiana State, Murray State, the rest of the way, as published yesterday at MVFC Media Day. We will take a break when we come back. It's always fun to meet and chat with a new head coach in our neck of the woods, and that's what we'll do for the second time in the last 3 weeks, centered up on the Augustana Viking athletic programs. We visited with the new leader of the softball program, Colleen Powers, a couple of weeks ago, and now we get to introduce you to the future of Viking volleyball. Head Viking volleyball coach Erica Butte in studio coming up next on this Wednesday edition of Overtime right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Right back with you on this middle of the week Wednesday edition of Overtime. The Augustana Viking Athletic Department has made not one but 2 head coaching hires in the recent moments. New leader of the softball program, Colleen Powers, was in studio a few weeks ago, and now we get to visit with new Augustana Viking volleyball head coach Erica Butte. You recognize the name. She is not too far removed from starring on the floor on the court here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Coach, it's great to have you. How does that sound? Coach of the Augustana Viking volleyball program.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a dream come true. Of course, once I entered the coaching world, kind of that what if of coming home, and we're here.
And certainly, certainly it's a big return home for you. Take us through the process. Obviously, you had a cool gig, really awesome spot there at Bemidji, but this opportunity for you, what made you leap at the opportunity to lead the Augustana Vikings into the future?
Yeah, there were a lot of things that came into factor. I honestly loved being in Bemidji, loved my time. They were short and sweet, had a great AD, kind of all the things, but ultimately, when Josh, our AD here at Augustana, came calling, I just kind of knew I couldn't turn down that opportunity. There's something special being at your alma mater. I have a few other external factors, like I'm 3 hours closer to home. And then just kind of that young professional community in Sioux Falls in general is exciting. And then to be at a university that all around is good. They're good at what they do. And then to be surrounded by teams and coworkers and mentors right there, I think only makes your own program better.
Talking Augustana Viking volleyball, new head coach Erica Butte in the studio with us here on a Wednesday, July 15th edition of Overtime. How do you describe to friends and family and other people in the Viking volleyball or other people in the volleyball world, how do you describe the Augustana community athletically and also just out and about on campus? What do you describe about your college experience and what makes this community special?
It's elite. It really is. At the Division II level, not only wins and losses, but Augustana, I think, speaks for itself on that, on really every program across the board. And then just your student athlete experience on and off the court, academically, community, surrounding support. It really is elite, and it truly doesn't get much better than it does here for Division II athletics.
Take us through your time at Bemidji, because that's a pretty amazing opportunity. We were talking off air. I think it's extraordinary. You're out of college. You got not one, but 2 head coaching jobs, D2, Bemidji State, now Augustana. what did you get and garner from your time there at Bemidji? How did you grow and how did you settle into being a head coach at a D2 volleyball program?
Yeah, it came extremely fast. I have a very unique coaching story. So out of college, I decided I wanted to go the college coaching route. I actually graduated with 2 master's degrees. Thanks to COVID, I had a little extra time here. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get into college coaching through that graduate assistant position, which I didn't need. And then I also didn't really want to be a volunteer assistant. Just again, having those degrees, it's like I could enter the corporate world. So long story short, Bemidji had a unique opportunity of offering a second assistant role, which not many other places in our conference do that. And they hired me. I ended up there as second assistant. At the time, the head coach there was actually battling cancer. About a month into me being there, he passed away. Kind of long story short, The next assistant in line, she was let go with 2 weeks left in the season, and then it was me. And then at the end of the season, I actually wasn't even really planning on applying for the official head coaching job. Just like I knew I was fresh out of college, didn't really, factor that in or think it would be an opportunity. And then the Bemidji AD reached out to me and was like, why haven't I seen your application? Put it in, went through the whole hiring process. They hired me. And then, yeah, I had a great last season in the NSIC. I feel like I really did leave that program in a better place than I found it. So with that, I have some peace and feel good about it. But then it led me back to Augustana. And I think just having that little bit of experience, and especially in conference, because it is a unique in a good way for our conference. It's such a elite level Division II that I think having an in-house coach at this timing of the year was important to Augie.
And I know that Augustana and Sioux Falls, very excited to have you, welcome you back to lead Augustana Viking volleyball into the future. Head coach Erica Butte is our guest. You can view the whole press release on the hire of Erica Butte at Augustana at GoAugie.com. Top of the volleyball tab right now. What do you think of your coaching style? You're still pretty darn new relatively into the head coaching ranks and the coaching ranks in general, but what kind of style and pizzazz do you have on the volleyball floor?
I think actually I kind of use that relatability in my age to my advantage. Mm-hmm. I think it is kind of a niche, especially again, talking in conference. We have a lot of veteran coaches, which is great. And I think they have a lot of pros and things I can learn from them as well. But I do kind of have that niche of that relatability. And like, I just was in my player's shoes and I really lean into that, whether it's on or off the court, like understanding what they're going through and what they're feeling and maybe some struggles that they're having and helping them get through that. In terms of on-court style, I'm a competitor as a player, and I'm especially a competitor as a coach. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to win, and that is how I think that is reflected in my practices. Like, we're there to compete, and a lot of things come with that, like the hard work and the energy that you have to give every single day.
Certainly, this is kind of a volleyball purist question, but for folks that know the game, you know the pressure that comes with being a libero. You're the defensive specialist. It's your job to start to end the other team's offensive possession and to start your own team's offensive possession, the dig it out specialist, if you will. What do you think being a libero and a really good one, successful one in college ties into? What kind of advantage do you think that gives you as a coach relative to other positions? Does that add up at all? Is there any difference or what do you think about that?
Yeah, again, I think that kind of leans into that niche. That first contact is super important, right? Like if the ball's not passed, the rest of the rally doesn't go on. Mm-hmm. So that is a very big emphasis. I think it is anywhere, but just that I kind of have that specialty. And even just recruiting other liberos and those back row players, being able to not only relate to them, but then too, they have the opportunity to play someone who is just in that position. And it's honestly relatively unique. Not that no liberos go on to coach, that isn't true, mm-hmm. but definitely is kind of a unique situation. So I get to lean into that. And honestly, I think it relates to my coaching style again. Like that position's super gritty. I mean, your job's kind of to get blown up and keep the ball alive. And just that grittiness and competitiveness that come along with that position really translates into other aspects of my life.
And certainly it's a big opportunity ahead for Erica Butte, new Augustana Viking volleyball head coach in studio here on a Wednesday edition of Overtime. Lastly, before we get into some fun rapid fire questions, this or that, dream vacation, things of that nature, what do you make of the roster you got? You're inheriting here at Augustana, where it's going, what kind of contact have you had? Your guys' season is a month and a half, a little bit less than that away. You guys will start practice before too long. Give me the latest and greatest on the roster, the depth, and where you see this team heading in 2026 and beyond.
Yeah, this is one of the largest rosters that Augie has carried in quite a few years. We'll have 22 on roster, so depth is definitely going to be to our advantage. We have 2 fifth-year seniors with lots of experience, returning Maya Wente, who was Augie's only all-conference player last year, so it's great that she'll be back on the floor. Sydney Timms is also in there, has a lot of experience. And then we have 4 true seniors as well. So there is the experience piece. And then we're bringing in 7 freshmen as well. So just that youngness, too, is going to be a great balance. I think those young ones are going to push our upperclassmen. But our upperclassmen, I'm sure, will push back with that experience piece. So it's super exciting. I think we're in a great spot. The season is coming fast and furious, but I know they're ready to get rolling.
And again, the season underway, August the 28th, the Betty Wallace Invitational hosted by Henderson State. Of course, that's going to be on the road. And then Augustana Viking Volleyball Classic coming up in early September. You can view the whole schedule at GoAugie.com. Rapid fire questions. I would say feet to the fire. This is very easy. We're going to start with an easy one, a layup. Coke or Pepsi or neither? What do you think?
Coke.
All right. Coke. That is the, in my opinion, the correct answer. Although I will give a shout out, Wild Cherry Pepsi, an elite soda. Also, pregame meal. What's your go-to? If you could have this pregame meal every single game, wouldn't really wish that on anybody, but what's your 1A pregame meal? What do you think?
I'm going to have to go back to college on this one. Going with the sausage breakfast boy from Bagel Boy.
All right, there you go. You know this town pretty darn well. Bagel Boy, an elite place to eat here in Sioux Falls. How about a superstition? Are you superstitious? Is there anything that you did as a player that's carried over as a coach in the volleyball world?
I'm not superstitious necessarily, but I do think routine is big. Like, you want to prepare for every match the exact same way. So, yeah, just that pregame routine, maybe not superstition necessarily, but you know, you're getting ready at this time. We're going through the same mental routine, kind of preparing, and then obviously physically warming up and preparing the exact same way every match.
Talking with new Augustana Viking volleyball head coach Erica Butte. We're into the rapid fire hot seat questions, if you will. Other sports you play, you're a Southern Minnesota native. Did you take up hockey at any point? Are you a softball player? Give me another sport outside of volleyball that you played in the past.
I was a 3-sport athlete all the way through high school, so volleyball, basketball, and softball. And yeah, I actually almost went the basketball route for a little bit, but ultimately picked volleyball.
There you go. So we'll ask you in a minute a little bit deeper dive. Off-season activity, do you like golf? Do you get out on some lakes in the land of lakes, if you will? What's a go-to off-season summer activity for you?
I love to wake surf behind my family's boat, and I'm just recently picking up golf now that I have maybe a little bit of free time. Mm-hmm. Well, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. For now. How about a dream vacation, a vacation that you've always wanted to do that you haven't been on just yet, but maybe in that limited free time moving forward, you'd like to go where?
It's pretty generic, but I'd have to go with like Bora Bora. Mm-hmm. I think staying in a water hut would be pretty awesome.
Can't disagree there. Another question on your playing career. Of course, you're at practice. You've kept up the athleticism. If you're a libero for a day, what's your stat line looking like? Can you still handle your duties if you were thrust into action in a hypothetical scenario?
I'm not putting up probably 6 digs a set anymore, but I think I could throw in there about 4 digs per set. Okay. I'd put you about middle of the pack.
There you go. Respectable stat line there for new Augustana Viking volleyball head coach Erica Butte. Favorite meal, a lot of coaches will go with, you know, my mom always used to make. If you want to score some points with mom and dad, you can go that route. But is there a favorite meal for you that comes to mind that is your can't miss, no doubt, meal any time of the day?
Steak. I love a good steak. It's hard to miss, in my opinion.
Hey, that's not a bad answer ever. How about this? You guys are going to spend a lot of time on the road, all the way up to Minot, Bismarck, etc. What is your way that you attack road trips? Are you watching film? Are you podcasting? Are you watching a movie? Are you listening to music? What's your go-to on a long road trip or plane ride? What do you think?
Especially in season, like, again, everything happens pretty fast and furious. So I usually try to use the time to catch up on some emails and work. And then, yeah, any extra time, little extra film, seeing if I missed anything in the scouting report.
Okay, final 2 questions. Some would say the most important question. Dogs or cats, and why?
Dogs. I grew up with the black lab my whole life, and couldn't get much better than that for a dog, so can't go against dogs now.
Hey, that's the correct answer. And then also, I think we're going to disagree. You haven't really vomited yet on the Packers stuff all over here, but your sports allegiances, you're a Minnesota girl. Are you a Minnesota Vikings fan? What's your sports allegiances? And which sport was your favorite growing up to follow along with, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, hockey, or otherwise?
I'm absolutely a Minnesota Vikings fan. I actually got the chance to be on field before the game with CJ Ham, so obviously the legendary Augustana alum. And then just following even like Adam Thielen coming from Division II, their stories were pretty great. So yeah, I grew up watching a lot of Vikings football, but then I'd say in general, a lot of Gopher women's basketball and volleyball as well.
Certainly great answers. That is the rapid fire hot seat. And that is how we get to know our coaches around here. New Augustana Viking volleyball head coach Erica Butte. You can view the schedule, roster, and stay up to date with that program all the time at Augie Volleyball on Twitter, goaugie.com. Coach, great to get to know you better. Welcome back to Sioux Falls, and we're excited to follow along. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
All right, that is new Viking volleyball head coach Erica Butte here on a Wednesday. If you missed the conversation, you just caught the tail end, you want to listen to the whole thing, podcast link will be available at the end of the hour at ESPNSiouxFalls.com or wherever you get your podcast. When we come back, NFL talk, Major League Baseball, sprinkle of the World Cup, and of course, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as we say so long to the Wednesday edition of Overtime, coming up after this.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a middle-of-the-week Wednesday edition of Overtime. Very fun chat moments ago, highlighting the new leader of the Augustana Viking volleyball program, head coach Erica Butte. If you recognize the name, she was a star and a stud on the floor for Augustana for five seasons here in Sioux Falls. You can view the hire, the press release, the schedule, the roster, and more. Follow along with Viking Volleyball at GoAugie.com. You can also find the program on Twitter at Augie Volleyball. Let's talk football right now. The NFL season is not yet upon us, but in about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks total, we will be seeing some previews of the Hall of Fame weekend and the Hall of Fame game between the Panthers and the Cardinals. And we're highlighting and counting down the season in many different ways. One way we're doing so is player rankings. We'll get to those here in a moment. But another way is we're talking storylines, coaches with the most approved, make or break seasons for this player and that player, etc. Another article that's out that's pretty darn fascinating is new coaching pairings with big players. We're talking Mike Evans in the Bay Area with Coach Kyle Shanahan. We're talking Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator now with the Tennessee Titans, linked with second year former number one overall pick Cam Ward. And of course, the Minnesota Vikings are in the news. They've made that list. Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell and veteran quarterback Kyler Murray. There's an idea out there that Murray is not a good fit in O'Connell's offense. And they say in the article that that notion is half right. O'Connell's offense, as we know it, has been built around pocket passers. You know, they've seen Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold in Kevin O'Connell's offenses. They've also been able to tweak and tinker and get some success and some juice out of a Nick Mullins and a Joshua Dobbs. And now we don't know for sure, but it feels like we're leaning towards, trending towards a Kyler Murray-led Minnesota Vikings offense in 2026. So in the article, they note that Murray, in the way in terms of stature, is a poor fit for Kevin O'Connell's offense. But O'Connell's offense is not static over his seasons as the Vikings head coach. He's done well to put imperfect quarterbacks in strong positions to succeed. Last season, both J.J. McCarthy and Carson Wentz attempted fewer passes to the intermediate middle than any other quarterback O'Connell coached in Minnesota or L.A. Wentz was under center on only 37% of his dropbacks. Again, O'Connell's lowest mark. McCarthy threw more deep outbreaking routes than any quarterback under O'Connell. The sort of routes that O'Connell will need for Murray as they're easier for him to see. All joking aside, that's a matter of fact. It's hard to see over the middle of the field when you're a smaller stature quarterback, when you got these behemoth defensive linemen rushing against behemoth offensive linemen. If you're 5'10" and your center is 6'3" with his hands up, and there's a defensive lineman with his hands up even higher, that's going to be a pretty hard bill to sell. You got to do a little bit more guessing and anticipation of where this player's going, where this player on the defense is. So we'll see about Kyler Murray's fit, but the one thing that will change in a big way is J.J. McCarthy has a little maneuverability. Kyler Murray's got a lot of wiggle and a lot of ability to get out, and running the football, extending plays is a massive part of his game, as we saw from a very successful Heisman-winning college career into the National Football League, where he's had very successful stints and series and time frames in Arizona. Was never amazing for the long term or for an entire season, but Kyler Murray has been pretty darn good in stretches in his NFL career. So that is a big storyline heading into the season. Coach and player pairings, Minnesota, Coach KOC, quarterback Kyler Murray. And they end that article, that write-up on Minnesota, saying that the ceiling in Minnesota with Murray is far, far higher than we're inclined to estimate. And I agree. I'm scared of Kyler Murray as a Packer fan. If that goes as well as it possibly could, and I'm talking healthy resurgence season for TJ Hockenson, the running backs figure it out and can excel, and Kevin O'Connell wants and is willing to and actually does run the football. Justin Jefferson is Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison is at his best. That's a scary offense in Minnesota, especially with the dynamic Kyler Murray, if he is back to his best NFL form. Could be pretty darn lucrative for those Minnesota Vikings. Other news to get to out of the NFL. This is interesting. It's not apples to apples, so if you're a Bear fan out there, don't flip off the radio dial. Don't get mad at me. It's not apples to apples, but this is an interesting storyline out of Chicago. Pro Football Talk sharing this morning that at a time when Illinois, the state, isn't doing much to keep the Bears from crossing the border to Indiana, the powers that be are finding the funding to build a new stadium for a different team, the Chicago Fire. How about that? Brian J. Rogel of the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago City Council's Finance Committee, has voted to devote $424 million in property tax revenue for the infrastructure around the site of an MLS team, the Chicago Fire, in a new downtown stadium. While the full city council must still vote on the move, it's something tangible, which is something more than the Bears have gotten in and out of Chicago in a plea to stay or stick around or be in Arlington Heights or downtown with some renovations of a historically significant Soldier Field. $424 million. It's not apples to apples. It's not the same deal. It's not the same people and owner and history and site and everything else that goes along with this. But it is curious to see Illinois stepping up to the plate, at least thinking about stepping up to the plate, the city of Chicago, rather, stepping up and saying, yeah, here's a proposal. Here's $424 million. They're advancing it on to the next stage where we're not seeing hardly any courtship, not even a wink at all in the flirtation between Chicago and the Chicago Bears to stick around. Arlington Heights feels like a pretty darn good plan for Chicago. Hammond seems like the tax haven for the Chicago Bears, which feels like the no-doubt decision that would be made if it was plain and simply a black-and-white business decision. You want a friendly tax environment. You want to maximize your revenue. You want a whole little town district around the new Chicago Bears stadium with a dome for Super Bowls and more income in the offseason with big concerts, etc. That feels like the business move to be made. Now, Chicago doesn't feel like they're trying much at all to meet the Bears in the middle, hash out a proposal, but they're willing to give over $424 million for the MLS team to stick around. This is interesting. Again, I'll say it again and again and again. Not apples to apples. Not the same situation, Bert. I know it's not. But it is interesting, regardless, based on what we've seen out of Chicago, what we will see, and what we could see in the near future. That article up at Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. Lastly, moving off of the NFL talk, Texans co-founder and senior chair Janice McNair passed away yesterday in Houston. The team announced she was 89. years old. Janice McNair became the Texans' principal owner after her husband, Bob McNair, the Texans' former owner, passed away back in November of 2018. Janice and Bob played a pivotal role in bringing an NFL team back to Houston after the Oilers' departure in 1996. Since bringing a team back to Houston in 2002, the Texans are not that bad. 174, 214, and 1, 7 playoff wins, and 8 AFC South titles. Rest in peace, Janice McNair, passing away yesterday in Houston at the age of 89. Quick talk on the World Cup. In the end, the third time was not a charm for France. Spain ousted the French team 2-0 in their FIFA World Cup semifinal in Arlington yesterday to make it 3 wins in a row against their European heavyweight rival, having beaten the Blues in 2024 European Championship semis and UEFA Nations League semis in 2025. The win for Louis De La Fuente's side also ended France's dream of returning to the World Cup for a final for a third consecutive tournament, a feat only achieved by West Germany from 82 to 86 to 1990, and Brazil from 94 to 98 to 2002. Spain in, France out to the World Cup final, as they will meet the winner of England and Argentina, who collide 2 o'clock on Fox later on this afternoon. Lastly here, let's hit you with the good, the bad, and the ugly. As always, a lot to get to on a Wednesday.
Been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side? Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example? Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, the future of hockey is here. After making NHL history this season, San Jose Sharks young center phenom Macklin Celebrini has made video game history. The 20-year-old will be the cover athlete for both the standard edition and deluxe edition of the upcoming NHL 27 video game when they're released later this year. According to EA Sports, Celebrini is the youngest player ever featured as a cover athlete for their series. Trevor Zegras was 21 when he appeared on the cover of NHL 23 as a member of the Anaheim Ducks. Other good news, Florida State is hiring former Texas, Houston, and Florida Atlantic head coach Tom Herman to their coaching staff for the upcoming season. Source confirmed as much on Monday. A second source later told ESPN that Herman will be an assistant to head coach Mike Norvell. Any injection there is going to be helpful for Florida State, who have been floundering the last couple of seasons. After a 5-way tie for second place put Duke in the ACC championship game over higher-ranked Miami last year, a new tiebreaker policy was announced on Wednesday in a move that Commissioner Jim Phillips of the ACC described as getting the league to the, quote, right place to feature its two best football teams in their conference title game. A change was also needed because the league is shifting to a new 9-game conference schedule this year. Because of the previously scheduled non-con games, 12 teams will play 9 ACC games and 5 will play 8 this season. Moving forward, one team will play 8 conference games to address the ACC having 17 programs. New tiebreaker unveiled after the head-to-head. They dive into an alternate rankings universe to determine who will be the second team in the ACC championship game. Lastly here, rounding out the good, the bad, and the ugly with the bad and ugly situation that is confirmed out there in Detroit. Not only was their best player recently asking out, now the general manager is stepping down of the Detroit Red Wings hockey program, Steve Yzerman. Remember him? No longer the general manager in Detroit after 7 disappointing seasons running a franchise for which he was a Hall of Fame player. Red Wings announced the news as of this morning, Yzerman transitioning from his role as an EVP and GM, but will continue serving the organization as a senior advisor to Governor and CEO Chris Illich. The team is now searching for a new head of hockey operations. Is it late in the game? What are they doing? Yes, it is. And I don't know. That's the latest on those Detroit Red Wings. Steve Yzerman out, stepping down as general manager. More change on the way for Detroit hockey. That is the good, the bad, and the ugly. That is the Wednesday edition of Overtime. We will talk to you tomorrow. Minnesota Vikings Thursday. Dustin Baker, Stone Baker in studio at 11. Hope you can join us. We'll talk to you then right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.